And time for this week's Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street, downtown Bangor, right between Brahma Grill and Fiddlehead Restaurant. Eric Meehan joining us here in studio. Good day.
Bonsoir. I don't know why I'm doing that. We're about to drink British Bubbles. Hey, everybody.
Hello.
We are here in May. Look outside. It's May. It is. No,
gorgeous.
It is.
Gorgeous.
Nothing we can say will change that, and we're going to drink like it's May. So it's time for a new topic for our Message in the Bottle. We're talking about Appalachians. And today our subtopic is, would you like some fine champagne? Sort of fine champagne. We'll get to that. So Appalachians, we're hitting this, and we talk a lot about this thing. And basically, folks, what I'm talking about when I'm talking about Appalachians is nothing is made in a vacuum. And if a wine is made in a certain part of the world, well, the people in that part of the world are justifiably proud of it if it's a good product. Sometimes even if it's not, but it at least sells for a lot of money, they're still proud of it. And they claim it as their own, and sometimes they legally protect it as their own, and we must, in the rest of the world, refer to it as such and refer to nothing else as such. And we'll talk about Champagne and Burgundy and all this and how it came about. And interestingly enough, we were sort of touching on how it came about just before the break. We came back, we were talking about the many wars that we have been involved with over the past century and how those have been filtered after the wars have ended. We were talking a little bit about some of our favorite sitcoms and things like that. But another way that the wars were filtered through our society was through the knowledge of the foods and drinks of the European lands that our great grandparents, in a lot of cases, and grandparents, and in some cases parents, for depending on our listening age, they slogged through these lands. They slogged and they were miserable and they laid mines and they had no idea that around them were these places that were creating these unbelievable bottles of wine, bottles of liqueur, special dry cured meat products, pâtés, which is wonderful things. But of course, there was not a lot of time to enjoy them. But in certain cases, enjoy them they did. There's a lot of cases of American soldiers, especially being some of the first people into some of these places where wine had been stolen by the Nazis, for instance, and they broke into these lairs like Hitler's famous Eagle's Nest, where he kept a huge treasure trove of stolen French wine. And Americans stumbled upon that. They enjoyed some of it. They, you know, every village they came through during the liberation would try to, you know, treat them as well as they could and offer them the fare they had. And so they came home and they said, man, I was tramping through the village of Chablis and it was really marvelous white wine. It really blew my mind. And of course, capitalism being what it is, there was people in America who said, well, there's people who want this. And there's people who are just ignorant enough to remember that it doesn't necessarily have to be from Chablis, so we can make big jugs of things and call it Chablis and Burgundy and Champagne and things like that. And people will buy it, thinking that it has anything to do with these French vineyards. And of course they did not. Of course they had nothing to do with it. They were mass-produced wines, mostly from California and places like that. But they absconded with these names. So what are these names? What is an appellation? To anybody who speaks at least, you know, level 201 or 301 French, you probably remember je m'appelle whatever your name is. Right before où est la libraire? La libraire.
Où est la bibliothèque?
Ah, la bibliothèque. So je m'appelle. I call myself. Je m'appelle Eric. I call myself Eric. This means I am Eric. All, you know, my balding scalp and my slightly too large belly and all of this. That's Eric Meehan, and nothing will change that except working out. And I'm getting on that, honey. I am. But when you call a certain product, in this case, champagne, you're talking about the wines from that region. It's a delimited area. If you take grapes from vines outside of this delimited area, you can't call it champagne. People have tried for years and years and years, and finally there's some legal protections. Same thing again with Burgundy, you know, these jugs of hearty Burgundy that I always like to refer to. Port is another great one, and we're going to cover actual port a couple weeks from now. It's a fortified wine. It's kind of sweet and unctuous and beautiful, and it comes from the city of Oporto in Portugal. And if it doesn't come from there, then it's really not port. But of course, you see a lot of things, including on my shelves, port style wines, things that are made like that, and it's all cool as long as you're very, you know, forthright about what it is and why it's there.
And what it isn't.
And what it isn't. That's a very good point. And very often, folks, what it is when it's a faked product, and some of these really were faked, there's a difference, because what we're going to be tasting tonight, I won't call a faked product, but it's an interesting stepchild of in this case, champagne. But there's a lot of, as I said, capitalistic intent without any real quality products, and the rise of the Gallo brothers and things like that. And if you're drinking your fine wine out of 3-liter jugs, they're jugs, folks. 3 liters with a bottle shape is called a double magnum, but if it has a little handle, it's a jug. And if it costs $12.99 or under, it's a jug. And there's nothing wrong with that. If it gets you your buzz and you're happy and whatever, but just be aware that it's not real. It's not a real thing that a hardworking winemaker made in his little, cave out there in the countryside. So real champagne, just for those of you who know, is sort of focused around, it's in northeastern France, just before you get really towards the heartland of the contested Germanic French border of Alsace. It's fantastic. And what makes it so fantastic is this subsoil, ancient seabed, chalky, very wonderful, and imparts this beautiful, striking acidic minerality to the wine. And that is part of what makes champagne champagne. It's this French concept of terroir, that the land has a certain amount of rainfall every vintage, and every vintage that changes, and a certain amount of sunlight, and sometimes more struggle, sometimes hail hits it, sometimes this happens, sometimes that happens. But whatever it is that happens only happens in that unique little spot of earth, and that makes that wine that wine. And that's a very cool concept. And it extends to a lot of other parts of agriculture. Cheeses that you have, the cows that are eating the grass on this grassland and somewhere in blah, 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 blah shire in England. And they make they milk the cows and they make these cheeses out of them, and they taste grassy and they taste of the hills of blah, 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 blah shire, which, as you know, is a very, very beautiful taste.
I love blah, 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 blah shire.
It's next to Nottinghamshire, but it didn't have as good an author, and therefore it lives in ignominy. So what we're drinking today, though, is really cool. We were talking about faking, but I don't think this is really faking. This is from southern England. It's not claiming it's champagne, but what's really cool is, for those of you who have seen the White Cliffs of Dover, right? That is the same ancient seabed. It's this beautiful, chalky, and imparts minerally wonderful poignancy to wine. And so there's been a tremendous amount of investment by champagne, by these bigger houses, and in some cases independent houses, in the southern part of Great Britain. Because whether or not you believe in global warming, folks, it's gone up a couple degrees in southern England. And it's gone up just enough that you're getting these barely but beautifully ripened Chardonnay Pinot grapes, exactly the same grapes that go into champagne. So what we're drinking today, literally, you could, if you've got a good arm, throw a stone from this is Gusbourne Winery. This, you could throw a stone into the English Channel from this place. It's right there, right on the edge. Beautiful Mediterranean, Northern Atlantic. Again, getting a little bit warmer. So the wines of Bordeaux that used to benefit from that, it's just creeping up just a little bit. And the Loire, the mouth of the Loire where we get Muscadet, again, just a couple more degrees, and now we have ripe grapes in England. This is made in Méthode Champenoise, this Gusbourne, that has won a lot of awards. It is made with champagne grapes. It is made in the style of champagne. Is it champagne? No, it ain't. And they don't claim it is, but it is beautiful. It has every amount of terroir that you'd want. You can taste that chalky minerality. You can taste the focused acidity. It's a little bready. It's really wonderful. This is their Brut Reserve. This, I believe their first vintage was in 2004, so a very young winery, of course, because they just haven't had this kind of climate for that long. But they are getting the right sort of skill sets to make this a special experience, and not just Gusbourne, but now in Maine, there are at least 4 or 5 different British bubble makers that are worth checking out, and I highly encourage it. For those of you who like champagne, basically, the good ones are right in that Moët, Imperial price range. So you're very comfortable spending that on a bottle of champagne. I encourage you to try one of these British ones. They're really awesome. We have just a little bit of time left, so I'd like to remind everybody from 5 to 7 p.m. this Wednesday, which is mañana, this Wednesday, tomorrow, 5 to 7 p.m., we are celebrating women. And even if you're not a woman, come celebrate women. How could you celebrate women? Well, for instance, we're going to be tasting a couple wonderful, wonderful wines. We're going to have the LuLaRoe legging folks. We're going to have a bunch of...
And you look divine in those.
I look pretty terrific. Actually, there are none made for men right now, though there are men LuLaRoe stuff. But I know a ton of men who closet keep these things under their pants in the depths of winter because they are comfortable and warm and... I'm not one of them. I'm glutton for punishment. Sure. I'll just like freeze because I'm silly. But 5 to 7 tomorrow, do come out. There's going to be a lot of female-owned businesses, a lot of interesting things to purchase, sample, try. And we are also going to be benefiting the Bangor Symphony Orchestra in honor of their Celebrating Women concert, which is this Sunday at 3 p.m. at the Collins Center. Then also, the 18th of this month is our monthly tasting we will be talking about. Appalachians!
Yeah.
Hey, and we might be trying this beautiful British bubble, the Gusbourne. So check that out. And there's actually more announcements on the way. We are finalizing some interesting event details.
Ooh.
So lovers of wine, lovers of booze, stay tuned. And cheers.
This is wonderful, by the way.
I'm glad you like
very,
it.
Very, very good.
That's Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese, Message in the Bottle. Every Tuesday afternoon here on Downtown, tell your friends, check it out on Twitter as well, as we post these Message in the Bottle segments every week. And they're available through the Bangor Wine and Cheese website as well.